This is the big test everybody's listening to. We've taken our rig, and we're here in the bowels of Legislative Hall in Dover. We're here in the press room. This is Rob. This is your Highlands Bunker podcast. Hello, Carl. I mean, you're here. You've been here for work. You have been known to wander the marbled halls. It's a strange place, man. I just get again, there's the vibes here are like off in some fashion.
It's a small building that nevertheless has a lot of nooks and crannies, which I think is a big part of it. Like if you go back into the offices for the legislators, it goes back way further than you'd think. And there's like all these little, there's like the bullpen, there's all the offices on the side. There's like two or three different on each side, like sets of offices. And of course you got all the Republicans in the basement. We were in the press room, which appears to be like, they took like Spotlight or something, like a weird, like high school production of Spotlight or, All the Presidents of Men, and just stuck it in the basement for some reason. Like that's kind of the vibe in here right now. So yeah, it's an interesting place.
Yeah, and I guess that has something to do with, like, you know, it's a small old building that's been sort of retrofit in the inside to accommodate, like, you know, more press, more this, more that. But it's, I don't know. I think the other thing is, like you said, nooks and crannies. You feel like you're always walking in on somebody you don't want to see. And I guess they feel the same way about me sometimes. But it's just like, I don't know what's going on. I everybody has a sort of a hidden agenda, and that comes out, I feel like. Yeah, because everybody's doing their deals and has their persona on and their political thing, and so it's like I think that just makes the vibes off somehow.
Yeah, and everybody's right there.
Yeah,
like you said, it's there's no way to avoid it. Like if you want to get some food, go to the cafeteria. Nope, there's some lobbyist there that you hate. Do you want to just wait outside? Is like a committee hearing starting? No, you're gonna talk. Like three legislators will walk by and they'll like shoot you a dirty look.
Yeah. That's funny. The last time I was here last year, and we'll go up there, and maybe we'll have a similar experience. I was waiting to go into Medina's office, and we will be speaking to Medina today. And, like, you just see people kind of, like, coming out of their committee, like, just yucking it up with their buddies about, like, not doing anything. Like, hey, we took care of that. Like, and I don't know. It just it doesn't give you the warm and fuzzies for sure. Maybe it shouldn't. Maybe it's good that it's like this. And, It's like the no fun league, but who fucking knows?
Well, I think the legislative building ends up kind of being a perfect representation of the legislature itself, because one of the biggest issues with the state legislature, and I would say probably government in Delaware more broadly, is that it feels like a workplace more than it feels like a legislature, where everybody has their little place, everybody has their friendships and their people that they hate, and a lot of that stuff really has nothing to do with their districts or policy proposals or things that actually matter and what you should be worried about as a legislator. But it's like, oh, we're going to the cafeteria. It's like, oh, I got my buddies. Like, we hang out and we talk. Oh, Trey Pardee brought his dogs in. We're going to go talk to his dog. Like, there's a lot of just like, and it's because it's humans. That's an inherent part of it. But because it's so tiny and because the culture is so condensed, the fact that everybody's packed into this small building together, we're all packed in the small state together, you really feel it, and yeah, it's not the best.
Yeah, well, this is the first in our mobile series, as the studio stands down for a few weeks. We're going to go out and about on the town, and we thought what better place to go than where it all happens. So, yeah, we're going to do a little spin through Leg Hall today. Talk to some folks about what their first week has been like, what their goals for the session might be. I was going to say the year, but it's not a year. 2 years. And just see who's about. I can tell you that I think work seems to start here at about noon.
That's being very generous.
Being very generous. So, yeah, when you see, like, oh, no, they have to stay until 8 o'clock, well, they get here after lunch. So, you know.
Look. Yeah, you did technically. Apart from committee days, where sometimes there's committees before, or usually there's committees before sessions start, most of the time people are here again at 2, if not later. Like, a lot of people will get here at, like, 233, because the way that it usually works is you go in, there's like a roll call, there's like people give their little presentations, like the local Little League team that won, they get presented, which is like very nice for the Little League team and everything. But a lot of legislators, and then after all that stuff's over, then they go into caucus. And so the Democrats leave, the Republicans leave. And so normally you don't actually get to real legislative business until like 3 or 4 or 5 sometimes. So yeah, a lot of people don't even show up until 2 or 3 o'clock.
Well, that's what it is here. People are just starting to gather. We can hear people. I did do a little fist bump with our friend, Senator S. Elizabeth Lachman, Dizzy Lachman, gave her a little walking in. So it was nice to see a friendly face at least before we really venture out and see what's up. So yeah, I guess let's go check it out. Yeah, we're doing it. We are here in the beautifully appointed office of Senator Laura Sturgeon. Hello.
Hello.
How are
Rob.
You?
Hello, Rob and Carl. So nice to be with you.
Yeah, it's nice to be with you. We gave our feelings about Leg Hall, and it's a little bit. We just said it's there's a little unease sometimes in here. I don't know what it is.
I feel it too.
Do you feel it too?
Yes, I very much.
I was going to ask you that, like, because I know some people do, and some people don't know what I'm talking about. But like, there's a vibe that's just kind of like, I'm not even. It's just off-putting sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. You guys feel that too?
Yeah, some of us. I mean, some people in Leg Hall feel they have to always be on their best behavior and extremely professional, and it makes them nervous because they just are worried about being judged. But I'm a little bit more of a casual person I'm just me, and take me or leave me. I don't care. If you don't like me, oh well, that's too bad. So I don't think I feel it as much, except for I pick up on those vibes of the other people who are trying so hard to be the image that they think others expect them to be. Whereas I'm just, look, I'm me, and thankfully the voters of the 4th Senate District have voted for me 3 times now without me having to pretend I'm anything other than who I am.
Yeah, it's a liberating feeling.
It is.
Because I operate with the same sort of vibes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, if you're just you, you can sort of stay on that vibe.
Yeah.
It's sort of like everybody feels like they have a particular character or game that they're playing,
yeah,
and they have to
a persona,
like, yeah, and so yeah. even if a bunch of lobbyists are doing it with some people in the corner, you kind of feel those vibes.
Yes,
you feel like that the game's being played around you, and it's I'll
share a story that a lobbyist that is definitely one of the more real people down here shared with me just yesterday, or it was Tuesday. She said, when I was in the bullpen area, everybody was happy and excited. It's the first day back in session, and people were just being themselves because we're like a family here. It's the Senate Democratic Caucus. We all know each other. We don't necessarily all see eye to eye or get along great, but generally speaking, we're pretty collegial. And then she walked out of this environment after having met with a few of us for business reasons into the lobby where all the lobbyists were. And there, just the whole vibe changed. It was much more tense, and people sort of putting on airs and making sure they're coming across a certain way. And she commented. So even the lobbyists feel it sometimes.
Yeah, that's a perfect word for it. I had never, it never came to me, but tense. You feel a tension.
Yes.
You can feel it physically when you walk in here.
Yes.
What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that you always feel very calm when you come to visit me in this office. This office is a safe space.
Nice. I love it. One more kind of funny Leg Hall question, and then I'll get to the meat of it.
Sure.
I noticed for some reason I've been seeing a lot of photos, because this is the first week of the new session, or the first week of the year, and all of this. And why does it seem like all of the men elected officials cannot dress properly? Why is that? The ladies, you and Tizzy, know how to do it, and the men are really lacking in the sartorial side. Why is that? Why do you think that is?
I have not noticed that, to be honest.
Don't
it's
lie.
Probably because I have not noticed. I am so self-absorbed, especially when it comes to my overall appearance, and you know, I might not be overly self-conscious about how I come across in terms of personality and just personality. But I am quite self-conscious about how I come across in terms of my looks and how I dress and how I do my hair. So maybe I'm just so inwardly focused that I don't notice how the men dress. But no, I have, that's funny, and I take your word for it, and now I'm going to be more aware. I'm going to look around.
Maybe I'm off base. I don't feel like I am.
No, you're probably right. I just haven't noticed.
So you are leading the charge on something that is like top of the list. Governor-elect Meyer has talked about it. It's been talked about over the course of several sessions, the Office of the Inspector General. Can you just give us a brief rundown of where that stands now, how you feel the momentum is sort of shifting, how optimistic you are, and what the process is going to be for the first few weeks here?
Yes, I would be very happy to, since this is such an important priority of mine. We have filed the bill during a pre-file on, I believe it was the 10th. So it's in the system. Its bill number is 4 after my district, Senate District 4, Senate Bill 4. I have not requested a hearing yet. It was assigned to executive, but the executive committee is just so bogged down right now with doing all the hearings, vetting the nominees for various cabinet positions that Matt Meyer has brought forward. So I thought I would just maybe give them some time to get through that process of doing the hearings for the various nominees. And then when we come back in early March after JFC, we would do the hearing for the Inspector General. I will request it for that time. I think it would be kind of, I don't want to shoehorn it in between nominee hearings. So that's the timeline we're looking at. In terms of optimism, I am very optimistic because I've had a lot of assurances from members of my leadership that this is the year that we're really going to push hard for it and that they're going to make it a priority. Last year, a lot of people believed in it policy-wise, but they weren't willing to fight to have it funded. The hang-up was the funding. It was not part of the GRB, so it had to be added into the budget. It's difficult to add things into the budget because there's so many things competing for those dollars. My hope is that this year, when Matt Meyer becomes governor and he tweaks the budget that he'll inherit from Governor Carney, my hope is that he will include the Office of the Inspector General in his budget. It makes it a lot easier if it's already in the base budget and we don't have to add it later. However, if he doesn't, which would be a shame because it would also kind of go against one of his campaign
promises. That was the point I was going to say. I mean, he's been very explicit, not just sort of platitudes, and he has said things about transparency and accountability, both in just regular government, at the police and public safety and all of this stuff. But he's spoken specifically about the IG's office. So one would expect or hope or think that that is a possibility where the funding will be carved out when you see it.
Yes. And I did bring it up. We were each given a 10-minute meeting with Matt Meyer. Each member of the General Assembly was offered a 10-minute meeting. And I took that meeting in Carvel Building. And during that meeting, he asked what my top priorities were legislatively. And I mentioned Inspector General. And I specifically told him that I really hoped he would put it in his recommended budget. So we'll see. But if not, I feel pretty hopeful that this year, even if he doesn't put it in the budget, you know, with each successive DFAC, revenue projections, we always seem to find a little bit more money. I'm hoping that any extra monies that are found, we would earmark for the Inspector General, since it has the potential to save us money or to pay for itself, or at least to partially pay for itself. That's happened in other states.
That's sort of the thing that people don't factor in is the benefit that you get from it when you have an independent professional process, bureaucratic process to deal with, independent oversight and investigations of things.
Right.
And, you can't say there's no politics involved because everything, you're going to have some politics, but this seems like the best way to be able to tell people that they can have more confidence in what's happening, that somebody's out there that's independent, that's funded, that's professional, that can go and investigate this stuff, and you feel a little bit better about oh, everything's corrupt, everything's this, everything's that, if there's a mechanism in place to at least as a check on it.
That's exactly right. And yeah, you're right. You can't say there's no politics because everything has some politics involved, but it's as divorced from the political process as we can get it to be. Yes, it's going to be ultimately whoever the governor is appoints the person, but first there's the panel that gives three names to the governor. The panel is incredibly diverse, people from all sides of the aisle and people who are nonpartisan. And then the names that are given to the governor are already narrowed down by that panel. Then the governor chooses a name, and then it goes through further vetting during the confirmation process. So one hopes that you could get somebody that will truly act independently and won't be afraid to go after this person or that person or this group or that group based on political affiliation.
Yeah, and I've Carl and I and Bill as well, who have covered, you know, just sort of Delaware comings and goings. I've been, you know, very satisfied as a Delawarean with the bureaucrats in the state. Yeah. You know, so yeah, you can appoint an IG, but who are the inspectors? Who are the admins? Who are the people doing the work? And when you look at a lot of these departments, I just had an interaction with the Division for the Visually Impaired last week, and it went great. I liked the guy. They had the whole thing set up. And again, so yeah, I think that the model is we need. We already have a sense of like civic duty and bureaucracy here in Delaware. That part works, actually. I think. And yeah, this would be a huge step forward.
Career civil servants are, you know, heroes among us, and they really don't pay attention to politics, and they just do what is the right thing to do. So, yeah.
So last thing, I don't know if you read the Delaware Call, but you're familiar with NOCAP Delaware, Neighbors Organized for Credibility, Accountability, and Policing. It's going to be big. It's going to be a wave down here. I know that right now there's nothing specific happening. I know that ODS and a few groups are pushing a package of, you know, minor tweaks, which are good, which we support. But yeah, I think that group is ready to kick off and really take a long term view and go forward. So once we get this IG off the ground, we'll reconvene, and so we can talk about how to take that model of independent oversight and apply it so people have confidence across government services and public safety and everything.
Including law enforcement.
Including that, yeah. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. That's to be honest, that's the public servant that you're most likely to interact with today.
Good point.
How's that interaction going to be? Like, you're not probably going to, I mean, you might have to call the Department of Labor or the Department of Housing or something. That's possible. But the person you're most likely to encounter today who's a civil servant is armed.
True. So, nobody from the Department of Labor has ever pulled me over on the side of the road.
No.
But it has happened with law enforcement. Yeah, I was happy to sign on to the original Leibor bill that had been circulated by Senator Lockman. And unfortunately, that bill did get changed. it did have to be modified in order for it to pass. You know, let's be clear. And but I had no problem signing my name to the original version. And so if something like that comes along, I will be right there at the forefront, you know, signing on as a co-sponsor and ready to lead.
Senator Laura Sturgeon, thank you so much for taking the time. I know this is a work day for you, so I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Laura sent us a text when we were coming down and went, oh, they pushed it. They pushed our session. It's usually at 2:00. They pushed it to 1:30. And I'm like, okay. Like, I was told. I just didn't understand what
yeah,
that meant.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome.
Here we are. Here we are.
We're
with
live right now?
Representative Medina Wilson Anton. Hello.
Hey. Thanks for coming down to hang out.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing good. I can't complain.
We'll tell you, and you probably know this, but it's like a simpatico thing, that when Carl and I recorded the intro in the press room downstairs, we just talked about the vibes and like, oh, it's just, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And Laura not only agreed, she came up with the exact thing. It's a tension. There's a tension everywhere of people doing things over here, whispering over there, looking over here, and it's a tension that I feel every time I come in here. And it was interesting to hear her share that, because I know you have your own competing interests.
Well, I mean, there is tension in certain spaces in the building, but I will say 85-90% of the time when I get out of my car and walk in the back entrance and walk up the stairs and then get to my office, I'm excited. And like as I walk through the hallways, I'm like smiling. People are just, I don't know. I enjoy being down here most of the time. Now the caucus room, I do not enjoy going to that space. But the building overall and like the chamber and the characters that come through, for the most part, I enjoy.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of cool. Plus, you're in a position where you're the person. You're the representative.
Yeah. Like, I don't have to hold back. I can speak freely, if you will.
Laura kind of said the same thing. If you act like yourself, you actually, that doesn't really build up.
Exactly.
Because you're not at work all the time working on your pitch.
You're not always selling.
You're not always doing your salesman routine. If you just act like yourself, you actually feel a lot calmer.
It's liberating.
Yeah, it is. I kind of understand a little bit of that too.
So what's up? What's on the agenda for you guys?
Well, right now,
chat about?
The first thing I wanted to ask you, because I do want to get and give you some time to talk about like the stuff you're doing. Like we talked to Laura about the IG's office. And she kind of gave an update of the pre-file, when it's probably going to go to the committee and all of that stuff. So I definitely want to give you an opportunity to talk about the stuff you're doing. But yeah, I would be remiss not to ask you your reaction about the ceasefire in Gaza.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel like, I mean, I know that it's, it seems kind of like...
It's a weird
late,
feeling,
but, obviously it's good, but...
I ran into Laura, actually, earlier. We both had our official portraits taken back-to-back, so we got a little quick picture together. And she said, it's too little, too late. And I think that's a big part of why it's like I'm happy, but also kind of like numb almost feeling, too, because so many people were killed. I mean, it's you can't really even process how many people that is. And so much has been destroyed. There's a ceasefire. And now, you know, if you guys are in my office, so you can see there's a big portrait of a woman after parts of Lebanon were destroyed. And she's got her hand in her head in her hand and a bucket. And I'm assuming she's looking for things to salvage. And that's what thousands... I think millions of Gazans are going to be dealing with now, right? Like 90% of the population is displaced. So, I mean, I'm happy that there's a ceasefire. Wish it was sooner. Wish more people had not been killed. But now begins a really difficult process for a lot of people. And it's going to be under the Trump administration. So, you know, I'm not super optimistic about the future there, but happy that there's a cessation of violence. And hoping that this ceasefire holds and, you know, continues.
Yeah, I'm sort of the same mind. I think that I did hear that the Trump administration's sort of delegate to the talks was very productive. I'll just say that. I mean, I know people don't want to hear that. People are like, oh, Trump's going to take credit for it. And apparently the president-elect's diplomat in that process was very productive in getting this ceasefire.
I heard the same, yeah. And
I'm not optimistic about Trump moving forward or managing any of this, but but maybe, you know, maybe there'll be a chance that it'll be a little better just because he's always looking to look good for everyone, you know.
Right.
He's always looking to do something.
And I mean, he said a while ago that he met with Netanyahu and he seemed like someone who didn't want a deal. And, you know, the messaging coming out now is that the Trump administration's representative put more pressure on than the Biden administration had. And I think a lot of us are not surprised by that. So it's disappointing that, you know, it's taken this long. And honestly, I think it's as a Democrat, it's just like how many L's does this party want to take? Just like, you know, like somebody asked me yesterday, will the Democratic Party learn? And I'm like, no. And we both kind of laughed at that, because it's like, no matter how many lessons, you know, you stack up in a rational order to try to, you know, get them to understand, they're not going to. And so now I think the next interesting thing to watch is this DNC chair election. I haven't been following it closely because I don't want to get any sort of hopes up about it, but it'll be interesting to see how the National Democratic Party moves. It's going to be interesting to see locally here in Delaware and other states that are reorganizing how that shakes out, because I think the only way that the Democratic Party is going to change is if it's changed from within. I don't think that, you know, party elite that are in power right now are going to learn or evolve in any way. So I know we kind of disagree a little bit about, like, you know, the approach party within the party, outside of the party, third party.
Well, I think is it so the guy, the change agent in the, is Winkler, right? That's the guy that we want. Is that, I mean, I don't know. I guess I know that he particularly had done great work in Wisconsin, I think, when they had to sort of turn around their situation after, like, the Scott Walker mess. And so he was sort of integral in the Democrats sort of cleaning up that in the last 10 years. But yeah, I don't know. I think you are right that the party elites and the party elders are not going to change. It's not in their interest to change. But you know, you go one step back and people are just waiting for their seniority to kick in.
Right. And that's where you got to
get it there.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. So, like, this is an exciting year for us here in Delaware because we have our state party convention. We have all the representative district committees are reorganizing. Like, they've either started already or they're going to this month, the next month. And so I'm just encouraging folks that are upset with the Democratic Party, but who agree with our party platform, or, you know, agree with it more than the Republican Party platform, to get involved at the local level, run to be a member of your RD committee, because that's how you have a voice at that convention this summer. And like we saw with the special elections, and I didn't get to talk to you about how that all went down, but like, it's just people in a room. So if you're one of those people in the room and we tip the scales in our favor, that's how you win these types of spaces. So
I guess I look at it like this, like the people who did tip everything in their favor for the special election process. Yes, they were in the room to do that. But in 2 years, on the doors in the neighborhoods, they're not going to be able to do that.
Right.
That's
right.
Sort of where I'm coming from.
Right.
Like,
but in the meantime, right?
Yeah,
like, in the meantime, we can set up a future where when there's another special election, our people are the ones in the room. And in between, you know, now and our regular election in like 2 years, choose on those RD committees, because the RD committees do have other things that they can do, like raise money and support candidates, endorse candidates. It's, you know, people argue about whether it's valuable or not, but I think there is still something to be said about having local support for our candidates, and some kind of infrastructure around them. So if you have the time, if you're even slightly inclined to getting involved, I would encourage you to do so.
I said I wasn't going to be argumentative today because of the respect for, like, all, so I'm not going to argue. Because, I mean, the only room right now to do anything we want to do is with the Democratic Party. I understand that this is why you have a D next to your name. Like, I completely understand that.
Throw some D's on it.
You should change it to L for literature. So
you want to talk about something that might bring us together then?
Sure. Is this some of your priorities for this legislative session?
No, else? I was just going to mention that the Eagles are doing pretty good and have a shot at the Super Bowl. So.
Go Birds. I mean, we're always go birds.
Yeah.
Birds Rams this weekend.
It's like Go Birds and This Is the Way. I feel like those are the two phrases that bring people together.
So, yeah, what one thing, if somebody said your priorities and asked you, what would you say is top of your list in the next 6 months?
So I am introducing some legislation to deal with the school board nonsense that's happening. So transparency and accountability for school board members, that's, I'd say, probably number one for me, because of my district. And then affordable housing, there's a lot of us that are working on that. And I'm excited to introduce some legislation around encouraging more affordable housing to be developed. I'm also working with our local fire company to address fire funding in a more equitable way. Dealing with illegal firework usage, which is like a super...
Let people have fun. Can't people just have fun?
Look, people want to have fun, but they also want to, like, I don't know, freak out all of their veteran neighbors and everybody who has a dog and make it so that they just can't live a quality life for like 3 weeks.
I'm glad it was because... down your priority. I hope it slides further down your priority list. People just want to have fun.
Look, I know they do. So go somewhere where they're doing fireworks legally.
Well, that's not as fun.
I mean, you tell me, is it fun to get your thumb blown off? Is it fun to have your neighbor shut down traffic so you can get to your house because they want to do a fireworks display in the middle of the street? Is that fun?
In the city, you got to do them in the street. I would say the thumb being blown off is definitely not fun, but that's on the person. I take a very libertarian view on illegal fireworks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've heard a lot from my constituents, so that's one that, like, that came from my constituents. Like, I don't like them. I find it annoying, but when you start getting letters and emails from people that, you know, live in your community and they want you to do something about it, that's what I'm going to do. So, that's one of the other priorities for me. And then because we're low on time, I'll keep my list short, but there's another bill I'm working on to increase coverage for hearing aids for folks that are on Medicaid. And so that's going to cost a lot of money, but I think it's worth trying. And like Bernie said years ago, it doesn't make sense for us to look at health in a way where we don't include vision and hearing. So that is another important bill for me this session.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here to say that, actually, because I told Laura, too. I went to the Division for the Visually Impaired last week to have my check-in, that, you know, to meet the person I'll work with. Great division. Love competent bureaucrats. You know, it seemed they had a lot of good advice for me. They had little sort of gadgets and stuff that will help me, like in the studio and stuff.
Nice.
So, yeah, I completely agree with that. I hope everybody can get a free hearing aid. I think they should. Because it's just quality of life medical stuff.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's very dope.
Thanks. Yeah, that came from a constituent as well. So
nice.
I'm excited to work on that. And I'm really sorry that I got to get out of here and get to the floor. But I'm excited because we're going in early today because we're going to be addressed by our governor, the second female governor in Delaware history, first nurse governor in American history.
How do we verify something like that?
I don't know. But Florence Nightingale wasn't governor, so
You know what we say? We love nurses here, so we have nothing to...
Thanks for coming to hang out, guys.
Thank you very much. And yeah, when the studio is complete, you know you got to come in.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. And maybe I'll even bring like what's the word? Christening gift, I guess. Is that what
nice.
You call
yeah,
it?
Cool.
Right.
Yeah, that would be cool. Very cool.
Bring a little bottle to smash on the front of the ship situation.
I love it. I love that idea.
You have a Palestinian flag already, but I have so much Palestinian gear, man. It's like,
We can deck it out.
Well, you let me know if there's something special you'd like, but
I will.
I'll bring something.
Well, thank you so much. And yeah, long live the Palestinian resistance.
Yeah.
Cheers. Well, we did it. It was a quick in and out.
Yeah. Surgical.
Surgical strike.
Yeah.
We're back here at the Highlands Bunker reflecting on our quick, in, you know, a little visit to Leg Hall. Yeah, I think we're going to do a little bit more of those. I would love to be able to go down sort of with advocates too when they're going to do their stuff. And sort of get people's reflections on what they think about Leg Hall. So when people go down with the Working Families Party, when people go down with DCJ, ODS, we can get like, you know, a day in the life of an advocate in Dover, because I'm really interested to what they have to say about it. I don't know. There's something about that place, dude. It's something's off.
Not great.
No, even We were waiting in the Senate office lobby for Laura to walk over. And, of course, I can't see that great. And I saw you standing, like, looking at this oil painting on the wall. I think it was there. Maybe it was at the house. I don't remember.
I
got up real close to it. And it was awful. It was a bad painting.
It was also just, like, the daughter of some random, like, person. It wasn't a political figure, as far as I could tell.
It looked like that when the woman tried to fix the Jesus' face.
A little bit.
It kind of. Like, it was a little bit flat. You'd think that, you know, they try to put their best foot forward.
Yeah, I wonder how that particular, because they have so many portraits. That's the thing about Legislative Hall, is that everything is lined with portraits. And it's mostly governors, but they have some other random, like, political figures in there as well. And so I always wonder, like, how certain portraits end up where.
Yeah, because that's right. You're right.
There's got to be politics, too.
Because the portrait, actually, that was that the woman who was just somebody's daughter that I didn't really think, and again, it's more to the artist. It's their fault. The portrait that was in the Senate side, one of them looked like fucking fancy lad, like looked like Sir Francis Drake or something, like a 17th century explorer. I didn't even see what that was or what. Looked a little out of place even.
Yeah.
But I guess it goes back. He was like, this is the first fancy lad of Dover, 1702.
Yeah.
Well, Carl, I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
We had to we dragged our asses down in the snow to record a little fun one for everybody. I don't think people will appreciate it, but that's fine. If you do appreciate it, please think about going to patreon.com/thehighlandsbunker and showing us a little love for a year or so. We would appreciate it. We'll have more to say on the matter as time goes on, but right now we're going to need to decompress from going in the hallowed halls, I think. Well, as we always say, long live the Palestinian Liberation Movement, and left is best.